Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This time on Vet Story.
You know, getting in firefights, it's not paintball out there. Like, they're not like running around in the wide ass open. What really jacked me up mentally was my medevac. It was the feeling isolated from my guys. It was being taken out of the fight. It was how dead flesh feels. You know, how soft it is and, like, you know, spongy it is. Like, when there's not blood pumping through those muscles, like, what they feel like.
I'm Phil Briggs. We'll meet a veteran who's coming up in the world of hip-hop.
My name is Doc Todd. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
And his journey will take us from the dark.
This is just a one-night thing. I started chewing pills. I started snorting pills. Also, if I'm being honest, at the end of the 6 months, I was hooked on dope.
To the light.
Look, you're capable. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Like, let's pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and get it together.
So it's not every day you get to interview an aspiring hip-hop artist whose experience with guns is in a war zone in Afghanistan.
My name is Doc Todd. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised, the land of Blues Barbecue and Stax Records.
Now, as far as hip-hop artists go, he's unlike anything on the charts right now. When I sat down with Doc to record this podcast, I was expecting the regular quick hit about his music. Where you from? Where'd you get inspired to write this song? Who's the girl you're singing about? That kind of stuff. What I got was way more than that. There's a guy who's in a fight. A fight against the bottle, the dope, and the deal too many vets are going through right now. Suicide. So you can feel it, feel a little bit more about Doc. Let's start with his single, Not Alone.
The struggle is real, found a feast and lost a soul. Eventually my drinking, it got out of control. There in darkness I roam, struggling to find home. See, suddenly death didn't feel so alone. 22 a day, destination unknown. It could have been avoided if you picked up the phone. But now you're gone, so I guess all we get is the tone. Nothing but bone weeds, overgrown, pushing up stones. I've triumphed over enemies, co-creating enemies. Broke out facilities that tried to put an end to me. R.I.P. I'd rather grind in tranquility. Authentic tendency, embrace my ability.
Boy, I try so hard that I fail. I bow my head and I pray. Lord, please lend me the strength to carry on and keep
standing.
How this life so demanding. So much pain on this planet.
Okay, real quick, where'd you serve?
Served as far as deployment, Southern Afghanistan, Helmand Province, 2009. We were part of that initial kind of invasion before Marja, the first real big troop insertion and change of direction from Iraq to Afghanistan, as far as that goes, and that was in 2009.
When did anything kick in? Like, you got out right after that and came back stateside, right?
Yeah, I was medevaced, actually. I had combat-related illness. I had pneumonia in both lungs and Q fever and, like, a really wicked viral infection. I was in ICU for, like, 7 days. Really almost died as it relates to an illness. Wasn't shot, wasn't blown up, just got really nasty ill and had to be put on full-blown oxygen, be intubated, and ultimately medevaced back to the United States. And, you know, my EAS was really quick after my deployment. So, I mean, I was slated to get out in December of 2009 anyway, and I was medevaced in August, like, by the time I got back stateside. So really I just was waiting to get out at that point once I got kind of healthy again.
When did you notice that you'd taken home some of the slideshow from over there? Like, when did you notice that? Like, how soon after you got out did you notice that some of those images were just still playing in your mind?
Yeah, well, I guess to answer the question first and then, you know, maybe offer some background, I would say, you know, I knew I wasn't the same immediately. I mean,
really,
you know, like as far as what, how it was going to impact my daily life and what it was going to really take to be healthy again, I didn't know that, but I knew that I was a different man immediately coming back from that medevac. You know, I've actually never gone to the VA to seek any kind of treatment for PTSD. Like I've always gone to private sector, you know, healthcare facilities because my wife has a great job and I had a really bad back. So I finally, after 3 years of like torment in my mind about whether or not I should claim my back, you know, I had surgery at 27 years old, like major reconstructive lower back surgery. And I was like, you know what? I'll at least like go in there and tell the truth and see what happens, you know, as it pertains to like a disability claim. So I went in there and just said, I'm not going to exaggerate anything. No hyperbole. I'm going to answer their questions. I'm going to show them my medical record and whatever they say is what they say. And we did it. And I ultimately got 10%, you know, service connection for my back, but I never, and that's for more of the training than the combat, right? I mean, we're corpsmen, so we're putting people on our back like every 5 seconds and full combat load. And I'm a way too big now, but back then I was a big guy, a big healthy guy, but I was probably 205, 210, you know, 6'1". And I mean, you're wearing 60-pound combat load, you got a 50-pound med bag or a 40-pound med bag, and then you're tossing Marines up on your back. I mean, it's a lot of compression on the lower spine. So I finally got over myself and went and connected to the VA about my back, but I always got my mental health treatment outside, man. You know, it's worked for me. But, you know, my thing is not to tell other people what to do. It's just to say, hey, whatever you think works for you, you know?
And clearly, you're medicating yourself in a very cool way, and that's musically. And we're going to get to that in just 1 second. I want to ask you, Helmand Province.
Yep, southern Afghanistan.
I lost a buddy there, too. I'd heard from some other guys, just real quick snapshots of, like, some of the things that they just couldn't unsee, couldn't forget. Are there any moments like that that you brought back with you that maybe were responsible for sort of you walking down a darker road?
There's not like, I don't know, like the way, because, you know, the only, you know, I haven't studied flashbacks or nightmares or anything like from any scientific capacity. And I would say, you know, based on the way that they're portrayed in the movies, I don't really have them, right? Like if that's how flashbacks and nightmares go, then I don't have them. Like I don't like wake up in a cold sweat and I don't feel like the need to crawl under my desk or something if something's going on. But, you know, from a what really jacked me up mentally was my medevac. It was the feeling isolated from my guys. It was being taken out of the fight. It was feeling like there was an asterisk on my deployment because I wasn't shot or blown up. And, you know, those were the things that really bothered me a ton. But from the physical, you know, tangible, touchable piece of war, it was how dead flesh feels. You know, how soft it is and, like, you know, spongy it is. Like, when there's not blood pumping through those muscles, like, what they feel like. You know, and it was not necessarily, like, we had an A&A guy get shredded up pretty good. And, I mean, he, you know, legs barely connected, genitalia barely connected, had a hole in his head the size of a softball. And I was, they picked that body up off the street. I wasn't on patrol for that particular incident that happened. But when they got, you know, in the Muslim faith, 24 hours, you got to get that body underground. Like, it's a big deal. And despite common belief, like, we care about doing things the right way. Like, we care about doing a great job. So there was a lot of people around kind of like looking for someone to take charge of that scenario and try to package that body up and get it medevaced. And I kind of jumped in and was like, I'll own this.
Yeah.
And, you know, dude was shredded up bad. And the way he felt, you know, the way his body felt, how soft it felt, how lifeless it felt. It wasn't even so much how it looked. It was just, you know, when you touch something and it doesn't feel like you think it's supposed to feel.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And that's something as far as like the visual or physical or touchable pieces of war that really stick with me. We were fighting a lot of small arms. There were some IEDs, but we got in firefights regularly. It's kind of, Helmand is where we were, was kind of a river valley. It's where all the opium is, all the marijuana is. It's kind of like, you know, farmland, you know, with egress canals and things like that. And, you know, getting in firefights, it's not paintball out there. Like, they're not like running around in the wide ass open. Excuse my language, sorry.
No, please, that's what we're here for, dude.
Yeah, yeah. that's what we let it fly.
We let it fly, bro.
All right, so yeah, like, it's not as visual as you would think if you've never been in combat. Like, you know, I can count on one hand the amount of times that I actually caught a glimpse of some of a Taliban and like really, really saw him. Really, really saw him shooting at me. Like, I can count it on one hand.
Wow.
Now I can count on hands, toes, elbows, appendages, ears, the amount of times I've been shot at. But the amount of times I saw who was shooting at me, small.
Wow.
You know, so it's not as visual in that type of, you know, in an open river valley. You know, they compared it. Some of the older guys said, based on their, you know, knowledge and more experience, not that they were in Vietnam, but talking to people, there was a lot more kind of like Vietnam.
Sure.
What we were going through. There's a lot of small arms fire in a river valley, you know, from a topographical, is that pronounced correctly? Like geography, it's, you know, a unique environment. There's like a lot of places to hide.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very, very visual, but like kicking in doors in Iraq was probably very visual.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'm sure that was a very visual war. So for us, it was like, you know, almost horseshoes and hand grenades. Like, you know, you don't see who's shooting at you, but all of a sudden somebody drops and you're like, damn, this is for real, you know? And it's just, you know, but for me, that body stuck with me and my medevac stuck with me. Those two things were like the main things that I had to overcome.
Well, the reason why I ask, brother, is because you've done a phenomenal job at overcoming. And I know there must have been something because in your song, Not Alone, which we'll play a little bit of right here. Yeah, I'd probably be dead, cause I'd be taking every med that the VA said. Gave every shred, every last thread of my identity. Conquer my fragility, eliminate the enemy. Deliver me, God, from temptation. Tell me that's his life, it's just a matrix. Need a facelift, back to basics. Vision LASIX, I only feel alive when I hear the bass kick. Boy, I try so hard to have faith. I bow my head and I pray. Lord, please lend me your strength to carry on and keep staying. Stand up. I want to get to a couple lyric lines in it, and I imagine before you medicated musically, you medicated some other ways.
Hell yeah.
The line about drinking out of control was yours?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got kind of hooked on pain pills too. Not on purpose.
No, right, right.
You know, and I didn't like go out and start scoring smack on the street, but I was working into my surgery, so like they had scheduled the, I had a lumbar fusion at L5-S1, and you know, I got two rods and some pedicle screws and kind of a fix my lower spine. When I finally got the MRI and I got it done at a private, I didn't go to the VA, you know, I got it done at a private facility in Atlanta, one of the best neurosurgeons in the country. And you know, he said, man, I don't really even see how you're functioning.
Holy cow.
You know what I mean? Like, you needed surgery bad. And he was like, you know, somewhere in the course of that discourse, he was like, you know, we could give you some pain medicine because obviously you're living with some pretty significant pain, but you've gone this long without it. I don't see any reason to start now.
Mm.
And boy, was he right. So I said, you know what? I said, you're right. I said, don't worry about it. And this was in 2012. And, you know, I had finally started getting around to get the surgery a couple years later, like 2.5 years later. And later I was like, we can really let it fly.
Yeah, man.
Later I was like, that. Like, he's saying I can get something for this pain. I'm going to go get it. And I went to my general care physician or whatever, your regular family practitioner site.
Sure.
And I was like, look, here's the diagnosis on my back. I'm scheduled surgery. Like, I need some pain meds. And he gave me oxycodone or Percocet or whatever it is. And you know, obviously I'm dealing with stuff mentally too. So, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I can have a little fun with these things and not be hurting for like the next 3 months. Let's do that.
I mean, if it helps resolve some things in your headspace, in addition to your backspace, at first it seems like a very innocent, kind of innocuous thing to do, right? I mean,
it almost seems logical, right?
And I say this out loud to you, but I'm thinking, you know, more of the vets that are listening to our conversation. It's not like we're saying you went into this with the mindset to start getting high.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was straight helpful to deal with the physical pain as well as some of the mental side effects.
Yeah. And I mean, if I'm being, you know, 100% honest, which like now my whole like path in life is based on transparency and authenticity. I think that's one of the things that people attach to with our mission is the fact that we're not some hyperbolic war hero story. Like, I'm not out here like,
yeah.
Like, I'm just out here saying how it was for me, you know, and I'm not trying to be like, I'm not Marcus Luttrell. I'm not Chris Kyle. Like, that's not who I am. That's not my role in this. I'm not a punk either. Like, we got over there and we got it done. But, you know, I think one of the things that people are connecting to in our mission is that we are being 100% transparent. Right. And I'm a guy who would get high. I'm just being honest with you. I'm a guy who smoke a joint or whatever. I don't think it's like the world's worst thing in the world. I'm wired that way. Like, I know it's not maybe right, you know, from the system standpoint. But yeah, I mean, was I trying to catch a little bit of a free high on it and not be in pain and not have to deal with it? I think all those things are true. One, yeah, it was kind of rational. Yeah, I can get some sleep. Yeah, I can feel better. Yeah, I'm in an immense amount of back pain, but yeah, this is like what I would call a free high, right? So it's right. Like, it's totally legal. I'm not doing anything wrong, and I can catch a free high off this. I'm not scoring it on the street, so let's roll with it, you know? And what ended up happening is I started abusing them at that point. There was no moderation or control.
Sure.
This is just a one-night thing. I started chewing pills. I started snorting pills. Next thing you know, we're getting into surgery, and you know, for people who know, you know, they cut through a lot of muscle tissue on lower back surgery, like a lot of muscle. There's a lot of fat tissue, a lot of muscle tissue. They're going pretty deep back there, and they're especially in that lower back or up above that pelvic girdle. And the post-op pain for a lower back surgery is pretty real.
Oh, and, I can only imagine, dude.
They're giving me like low dose of morphine after surgery, and here's it ain't doing.
Because your threshold has already been so high.
My opium threshold is high. And I wasn't like going crazy with it, but I was taking more than I should. And I was taking it to do the pain, get the sleep, be healthy. But also I was looking for a recreational edge too.
Sure.
And you know, by the time I was in post-op and I really needed it, like really, really needed it, my tolerance was way too high. And they ended up having to give me like, you know, intravenous Dilaudid and all kind of stuff. So then I get out of the hospital and now I'm obviously on post-op pill meds from the hospital. So you take another, you know, six weeks to 12 weeks of post-op, you know, rehabilitation, taking pain meds again. By the end of that 6 month period, I'm hooked on dope.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like by the end of that 6 months, I'm physically hooked on dope. Now, I never went out and got it on the street or anything. When they cut off that supply, I just went through the pain, and I took it on the chin. I took my sins right there on the chin,
ooh.
And I was throwing up, vomiting, you know, all the diarrhea, the whole deal, right? Because, you know, you don't have normal bowel movements when you're on opioids for a long period of time and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I didn't prolong what happened, like by going out and scoring dope and
right.
Prolonging the enemy.
But that's how it happens.
I was hooked on dope by the end of those 6 months.
But that's the intersection right there.
Right.
That's exactly how it happens
right there.
Wow.
So, I mean, if I would have had, there's just something in me. I'm not saying that it makes me better or worse than anybody else. There's something in me where I'm not going to go out and get drugs from some guy on the street. Like, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And I'm not going to hunt around looking for pills. Like, it's not in me to do that. I understand why people do that. To me, that's kind of a line that I won't cross. But also, if I'm being honest, at the end of the 6 months, I was hooked on dope, period.
Man, you just explained so perfectly, blow by blow, the exact path that makes some veterans turn into dope addicts.
Yeah, no, that's some straight fact.
Now, while the interview's happening, it's like a light bulb's going off in my head, and I can hear his song. And I can hear the exact lyric that describes the situation. And almost as if we'd rehearsed the conversation, on cue, Doc Todd nails it.
You know, without my Georgia girls, I'd probably be dead, taking every med that the VA said.
Mm.
You know, like, so it's just, you know, it's just saying that I have stuff to live for. Like, I have people to live for, and I have a responsibility, like my responsibilities as a man, father, and husband, they did not cease to exist when I got out of the service, you know? And I mean, look, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for somebody else, you know?
That's,
I mean,
beautiful,
if you can't
man.
Find the heart to do it for yourself, do it for somebody you love, you know, because, you know, you have value, you are important in this world, you know, and people depend on you, you know, they look to you for strength. They look to you for provision. They look to you for protection. So, you know, if you can't do it for yourself, provide it for them.
And I think my takeaway from this, before we get into where your music career is going next, my takeaway is that your music, this song, is so profound. And I was looking at some of the comments that brothers believe in underneath, you know, in your comment thread, and that the men and women that have fought and served that get you,
yeah,
that have heard this song just since your appearance on NPR recently. To some of them, you replied, chin up, chest out.
Chin up, chest out.
And I thought that was so cool. And it must be, it to me is the evidence that you here for a reason, and that everything we go through, whether it's combat stresses or just, you know, our previous generations where they went through the Great Depression and poverty or struggles, mm-hmm, that our great grandparents went through, you know, in different wars, in different eras. They came back, but they were here for a reason. And what the wise ones did is they made a legacy, and they turned something beautiful out of, you know, some really nasty soil.
Yeah.
And you've done that with this song. Tell me about how you got into getting this single recorded.
You know, I had a relationship in Atlanta. One of our executive producers, my brother, was an executive producer on the project too. He's plays drums in a band called Voodoo Fix, which is great, great, great group. The other guy is a guy named Mook Beats, who's done a lot of work with T.I. and Hustle Gang. He's got a placement with Post Malone, who's kind of famous now, and a lot of other prominent hip-hop acts. And,
you know, and these were just your boys from your hometown, or how did you come about knowing these guys?
In Atlanta that work in the industry. So, like, you know, you can't be afraid to reach in your pocket a little bit and go, you know, hire some talent, you know. So I hired Mook to be the executive producer on the project. So
you just straight reached out to these guys and were like, I got this project I'm trying to put together, trying to use my experiences to make a meaningful record. And they were receptive to you?
They were as far as making the art. Now, like, you know, I'm not generating the kind of press on the hip hop side, like, you know, in their traditional media channels as I am on a traditional news front, because, you know, there's probably more barriers to entry on that side just because it's such a saturated market as far as that. And the veteran piece is what differentiates me there. But, you know, they've been, now as far as the listeners, they love what we've done. I mean, it's a legitimate hip hop record, humbly. I mean, it's a good hip hop album. But Mook is actually under the same management company as Binks. Binks is a former helicopter mechanic in the Army. He's the guy who sings the hook on Not Alone.
Okay.
And, you know, he was like, I met him in a studio. He was in town working with this guy named Zaytoven, who's a huge producer in hip hop. Like, he's really well known. And Binks was doing something for Zaytoven and working with a lot of artists in Atlanta, you know, because guys that can really sing, that can write also, they get a lot of what we would call hook work or chorus work in the hip hop industry. I'm actually an artist who does a lot of my own choruses. I do half of the choruses on the album. A lot of hip-hop artists can't do choruses at all. Like, they don't have that in their tool bag.
Right.
So they
some of them, I wonder about what they can sing like, because they got the auto-tune on them.
Yeah.
I don't even really legitimately know what Lil Wayne even sounds like.
Like, you can do a rap chorus, though, too. It's like, there's a such thing as a rap chorus. Like, you don't have to sing in your records. Like, it's funny, like, Jay-Z, you know, had a line, you know, back when you didn't have to sing to go platinum. And it's like, you can do hip-hop choruses, and you can do them well. A lot of guys don't. I would say, like, it's not the norm. So I did half the choruses on my album, but we hired out the other half. I mean,
sure,
you got to have some singing on the record. So, and it's just something that I can't do. You know, it's not something I'm gifted in. And
well, again, you build teams, though. You find
teams,
another guy that's got an incredible gift and somewhat connected as well. So now bring him aboard.
Yeah.
And now you got this team. You got this incredible single that I know is going to go some places. But share with me real quick the trajectory. What's next?
So, well, I mean, I want to get on tour opening for somebody. That looks one of two ways for us, and we're targeting both options. Whichever one comes first is probably the one we'll take, to be 100% honest.
Okay.
Whichever comes first with a little bit of money, we're like, all right, let's go. You know, we either want to open up for a meaningful hip-hop act on their tour. You know, Chance the Rapper would be a great somebody to open up for. You
nice.
Know, even, you know, going into more of the mid-level, like opening up for somebody like Big Crit, or, you know, getting out there on a regional level and opening up for one of these established acts is what we want to do on the hip-hop side, because we want to get out and touch fans. Like, we want to get out and touch people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about that in another song. Like, we've never been more connected, but we've never been further apart. And, like, part of my mission is to get out in front of people and be a catalyst or a match for change. I'm not saying that I have all the answers to your recovery, because I don't, but you have the answer to your recovery. You have the answer to your transition. You know where you need to go, whether that be addiction treatment, whether that be, you know, transitional, you know, employment, whether you take pride in your life, you need to get a job so you can wake up and have structure in your life. Like, you know the answer to your problem. I don't, but if we can just be the match to say, like, look, you're capable. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Like, let's pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and get it together. Now, the other option is a USO type tour where we get out and we touch these active duty people because we're making military music. I mean, this is mission oriented music. Mm. So, you know, that's kind of the other option that we're trying to, you know, get to the bottom of. The issue there is they're just so conservative, and like the acts that they choose are just really conservative. And I get that because they're dealing with people in a war zone and they want things to be like, you know, all clean and things like that. But I mean, look, war is messy. Like, you need some people that are actually out there that are kind of blurring the lines a little bit, or maybe stepping out of bounds a touch. So,
well, and you're also real hip hop. You are authentic, legit music. And let's face it, you know, he's a great musician also, but Lee Greenwood doesn't get the same kind of toe tap response from the, you know, from the young brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah, we're touching the millennials. Do. Yeah, like they love it. Like, I mean, you know, they really do. Like, it resonates with them. You know, and music cuts to the heart of the matter faster than anything. I think it goes right to your soul. It cuts through all the good. Like, we're getting right to the message, right to their life. Like, I've had veterans tell me, like, this is my life. Like, everything that you put on wax here is like my life. And I was like, I know.
Because it was my
life. Yeah, I know, man. Like, you know, and they, a lot of it, they just want a voice, right? And they want something that they can bump out to. Like, you know, the people that like certain music, it's because it resonates with who they are as individuals. This is music with resonates with this group of people individually.
Right.
Like, let's get it to them. I want to break down the barriers to get them this music. Like, you know, I've got to find a way to make a living, but I also know that the most important thing is just to get the album in their hands, because I know it can have an impact, you know?
Well, you were well on your way. You're already making money from this, but it's I know what it's like to be a startup artist because of my years in rock and roll and interviewing bands and stuff. You're in your truly at the first semester of your freshman year.
Boom! I like it. So we need to make some C's and some maybe some D's and some C's. We got to get to the second semester.
We
got to
get to sophomore.
We got to get there.
Let's dream big, real quick. You said Chance the Rapper would be a cool tour to get on.
Hell yeah.
I'd like to see you do it all, man. I'd like to see you do the USO tour, and I'd like to see you on a headline act tour. Go big. Do it all. Who would be huge? Who would be one of the biggest icons of...
I'd love to do a Veterans Day song, like a kickoff song, like to like honor Veterans Day and like have a major artist on it that's not a veteran. Like, really would love to work with Justin Timberlake. I'm from Memphis.
Yeah.
He's from Memphis. He's like part owner of the Grizzlies. I'm grit and grind Grizzlies all day.
Right.
M-Town. I mean, I think he owns Stax Records now. I'd love to work with Justin on a Veterans Day song and kick that program off. And let's get some veteran art out there, man. It's time. Like, it's time to have some vets to look up to, and whether it be painting or sculptures or literature or music, like, it's time to get some of the... Now they can't just get on if they suck. They gotta,
right,
you gotta be good. Like, you gotta come correct, guys. Like, don't be coming with some whack. Like, you know, like, get your game up, you know. But if you're good, like, it's time. The world needs to see this art, like, because it's art inspired by 16 years of conflict.
Yeah. And there have been some incredibly gifted musical veterans, too. I cite 101st Airborne, early 1960s. They discharged one James Marshall Hendricks.
Yes.
And he went on to rip it up. And he was a pretty fair guitarist, I think one could say.
He's all right. He's overrated. No, I'm kidding.
I think if Jimmy were alive today, he might be in the hip hop scene too, because
he's part of that 27. That artist that died at 27. If you go look at that group, that's a scary group.
It really is. And to that, we've also looked at another number that's pretty damn spooky, and that's the 22. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate what you're doing, because your words in this song mean a hell of a lot, and they are very, very sincere. Look. I think there's something going on here you don't even know about, but
I don't. I have no idea what I'm doing right now. Like, I realized that yesterday. I met with the Senate or the Veteran Affairs Senate Committee or Senate on Veteran Affairs Committee yesterday, and I was like, I don't know how they can really help me, but it's great that I'm in this room right now.
Right.
You know, and I'm just, we're out here trying to help other people. That's what we're trying to do. Like, we, you know, I've been toying around with this idea of Mission 21. Like, why is everyone focused on 22? We need to be focused on 21, then 20, then 19. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that this number is not going to get to zero, but I also know that the amount is just is atrocious. Like, we've got to get a hold of this thing. And the last thing to me, this is my opinion, you know, shoot me down, but we're transparency, authenticity here. The last thing that the community needs right now is another veteran nonprofit. So, like, that's not my lane. So, like, my lane is to be a catalyst, to be a match. My lane is to get people out to the right resources that already exist. My lane is to try to help their life through music, through literature, through art, get connected to the guys we serve with again. Like, just call somebody, man. Like, you know, just take the next step instead of, like, trolling somebody on Facebook and being like, oh, I guess they're doing good. And then a week later, that guy kills himself, and you're like, well, looked like he was doing good, but you never called him because you felt connected to him, but you really weren't connected to his life. Like, we need to use technology as a tool, not as a crutch, to like substitute real connection. Like, if I couldn't tell you, like, there's a line in another song where it's like, much respect for tech, but it's a tool to connect, not neglect those with the noose around their neck. And it's like, in that department, I think we fail miserably. Should be more open eyes behind the screens. And it's like, my eyes aren't open when I'm looking at that stuff. Like, I'm not really connecting to guys that I start with. I'm just catching, you know, their highlight reel.
Right.
You know,
which can be very deceiving.
Yeah. And then they're either putting up the best stuff,
right,
to make it seem like they're okay. And that's what most of us do. We want to show our best selves first, but they could actually be like purposely and in a sense maliciously masking what they're really going through. And if you literally just picked up the phone and called them, just pick up the phone. You're not alone. Just pick up the phone. Like, if you literally picked up the phone and called that dude and he picked up the phone and you heard the tone of his voice, you'd be able to tell a lot about how he was doing pretty quickly.
Right.
And you know, if I can just get these guys to connect again, you know, that'll be a start. You know what I mean? Just talk to each other again, like on the phone, or like set reunions up for your deployment people. Like, you know, we're going to try to do a 2-8 reunion. Luckily, there's some guys in there with a little bit better logistical ability to me that are trying to throw together like a deployment reunion. Like, do that kind of stuff, guys. Like, get together, man. Go fishing, even if it's just like your squad, you know, or like, you know, your fire team. It doesn't have to be the whole battalion.
But because of the situational things we've lived through, it's most important to pick up that phone and make those calls.
Make the call.
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Pick up the phone, man. Call somebody.
I love it, man. Doc Todd. Combat Medicine.
Yes, sir.
Available everywhere. iTunes, available.
Yeah, iTunes. We've got it at www.therealdoctodd.com. It's on everything from Tidal to Spotify to Google Play, Amazon. I mean, you can find it where you find your music. And
okay, cool.
We're at The Real Doc Todd across all social channels. And we're here, man. We're here fighting the good fight. We want to fight it with you. So let's roll.
The single we've been hearing during this segment is Not Alone. We're going to go out with the entire thing, but before we go out, I'm going to make Justin Timberlake, if I can, I'm going to do everything I can to get somebody big to call you and
Justin
hopefully
Timberlake,
knock on your door.
Yeah, hashtag JT Vet Song, Doc, or something, man.
Justin,
y'all know how to do this. JT Vet Song with Doc, man. Like, it's time. Like, let's like blow the door off this thing and do a song for our vets, like, straight up. Let's do it. Dude, that's a bad white boy right there. And that's kind of the point. Bad white boys come from Memphis. Look at Elvis. Look at JT. I'm trying to carry a little small piece of that bag. Like, maybe I'll carry their like shoe bag. But those are some bad white boys coming out of Memphis. So we're trying to do it again.
Doc Todd, you a bad white boy.
I appreciate it, man.
The struggle is real, found a peace and lost a soul. Eventually my drinking, it got out of control. There in darkness I roam, struggling to find home. See, suddenly death didn't feel so alone. 22 a day, destination unknown. It could have been avoided if you picked up the phone. But now you're gone, so I guess all we get is the tone. Nothing but bone weeds, overgrown, pushing up stones. I've triumphed over enemies, co-creating enemies. Broke out facilities that tried to put an end to me. R.I.P. I'd rather cry in tranquility. Authentic tendency, embrace my ability.
Boy, I try so hard that I fail. I bow my head and I pray. Lord, please lend me the strength to carry on and
stand up.
How this life so demanding. So much pain on this planet. I hurt each time I wait. But with you, I'm not alone.
Yeah, I'd probably be dead, cause I'd be taking every med that the VA said. Gave every shred, every last thread of my identity. Conquer my fragility, eliminate the enemy. Deliver me, God, from temptation. Tell me that this life is just a matrix. Need a facelift, back to basics. Vision LASIKs, I only feel alive when I hear the bass kick.
Oh, I try so hard that I fail. I bow my head and I pray. Lord, please lend me the strength to carry on and stand up.
I love you guys. Take those bottles out, dog, and pour them in the sink. Take the needles out your arm and the gun away from your forehead. It's time, man, you've been through enough pain. Stand up. It's time to stand back up. All my veterans, man, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard. Get up, you know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.